Welcome back to the Photography Basics Podcast. Phil, Will, and Sam here with you as always.
What up?
We love you. We hope you love us and our show. And in this episode, we're kind of wrapping up this section on composing your shots and really what goes into making great photos outside of the camera. So we've talked about composition, we've talked about focus, and in this episode, we're talking about color and lighting, which could be a series of courses on their own, but we're going to try to condense it into the basics of what goes into to lighting and how also that goes hand in hand with color. But beyond, you know, the color of light, how colors also affect your photo and what colors are in your photo. So, I don't know. Will, Sam, you guys want to like kind of just explain the
Kick
basics of light and what light is, what light temperatures there are, and what beginners need to know about light to improve their photography?
Such a vast subject.
Yeah. There's the spectrum of light, and there's a very small part that is actually visible.
Okay.
Right?
And there's a light that's inside your heart.
And it glows ever so bright. Anyways, so the visible light spectrum is on this large spectrum of wavelengths that include gamma radiation to X-ray to microwave to radio waves, all these waves flying around. And the visible light spectrum is a very small little part on that. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, you know, how we perceive, how our brains perceive these different frequencies is how we see different colors. And it's actually a reason that people that are colorblind, or also when I talk of a shade of blue, it might be different than the shade of blue that Will's talking about.
Totally. I love that theory.
It's all different. You know, we're all seeing it differently. So does that really make any difference for photography? Not really.
I mean, I think that's like the basis is that
the basic,
there's certain light that we as humans see, and that's what we're capturing with our cameras.
Yeah. And there's a lot behind the psychology of color in the sense of, you know, deep blues are calming for a lot of people, and reds and oranges are much more energizing.
Okay.
You know, there's all sorts of thoughts of, you know, that. And then you get into complementary colors and how certain colors work better together visually or more pleasing, and others create more contrast, which are also really pleasing. And then I don't know if there's any colors that just don't work together, but I think all colors kind of work together in some way.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, just using different. I mean, this is kind of, we're jumping ahead beyond light, but to color, but how you could, I would think you've used this example in our courses a lot is, you know, you're taking a portrait of a person in a red dress in the middle of a forest with lots of greens and browns in there, that red dress is really going to pop out compared to if you used, you know, a green dress and that person kind of blends into the background. And what are you trying to do? Are you trying to make that subject pop out from the background? I would say typically you are trying to kind of highlight your subject, but then also just composing an image with just all blue things or all of one color is like a different kind of style or thing that you can do as well.
Right. And that's another side of it then, is the luminance and the light of it. You know, color is light. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about a person wearing a green dress in the green forest and there's a lot of green, but you had a lot of light on her and the rest of the forest was kind of dark, she would stand out as well because her luminance, her amount of light on her is greater than that of her surroundings. And so that's if we want to go back to light, how light can then, you know, plays a role into photography. It's not just the color end, but it's also the luminance of different things throughout your frame and what that luminance does to call attention to things or you know, evoke different things.
Yeah, and fun fact, our eyes go to the brightest spot in a frame. Usually.
Yeah, that's always. Yeah. Yeah, so just to clarify, luminance is like the brightness. It's another way of saying like how bright or dark something is. So,
yeah.
Back to light, though. So we have the visible spectrum, but we also have the color temperatures that light sources have different color temperatures. And this is the Kelvin chart or scale. And it goes from warmer, more red, orange light to more cool light. And that's, I mean, as with your human eye, you can tell that from an old incandescent sort of like Edison style bulb. For those of us old enough to remember before LED lights and even before fluorescent lights, our light bulbs were yellow, basically. Compared that with light bulbs now that are all color temperatures from warm to cool, and sunlight, you know, daylight is actually on the cooler end of the spectrum. So we have all of this listed out. Just head over to photographyandfriends.com. We have the scale there for you to see. We also have a video explaining this so you can actually see the different color temperatures. But I guess as a photographer, what we're trying to do is we're telling our camera to read that light in a certain way, because it's not like the camera is a human, which is automatically adjusting its sight for these different things. Although I guess you can set it now to automatic. Yeah. But basically what your camera is trying to do is to make colors look natural, right? They're trying to see a white wall and it looks at that white wall and it should appear white, right? And that's what we're setting when our camera's adjusting the white balance, is basically what that's called. And if white's white, then all the other colors are the correct color, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. we're getting there.
That's pretty good. It's so funny. White balance is such an interesting thing in present day, because it was such a big deal. I know when I was starting photography 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And now like cameras are so good with auto white balance, in addition to like you shooting raw where it doesn't, you know, you can mess around with all that later in post.
Yeah.
But you know, back in the day you had to tell your film or you had to tell your camera like what balance you were going to be shooting. Even today in big film cinema places, they will shoot on these fancy cameras. They'll shoot a color temperature card or a color control card so that they can balance to that card in that certain lighting situation and make sure that everything is okay and what is considered like 18% gray or like perfect white.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's both the lighting of the situation as well as how the camera reads light, because all these digital cameras now are, it's all, you know, it's a computer. It's how it's perceiving light is the same way that my eye is different than Will's eye. But it really has become more of an obsolete, like, I don't think I think about white balance at all anymore.
Not when I'm shooting photos. Like my auto white balance on all my cameras is just, I don't even think about it.
Yeah. The only time it screws me up was when I was doing a star time lapse and I had auto white balance on. And my photos were changing colors throughout my time lapse, and it was the worst thing in the world because I had to.
And that's really interesting because it's multiple photos, and you think about video, and video you must think about that a little bit more because it will change if you're on auto. Mm-hmm. I think it's more prevalent in video when you're shooting multiple photos, like or time lapse.
Yeah, and it's
good to understand.
It's really important to understand. It's also, I think, when getting into more the color realm, if you have your indoor lights on that are a warmer color and you have daylight coming in, if you white balance to the daylight, it's going to feel really warm and orange inside your house. If you white balance to the inside, it's going to feel very blue. And so it's getting into a color game then more than, you know, what is your pure white and setting your camera to that, but more so I want to have this sort of color, you know, effect based off of, you know, this lighting scenario that I'm in.
Well, I think for beginners too, it's like with most modern cameras, you won't have to think about it. No, but when you are in that situation where you're inside with lights on and light coming from outside, you might notice that the color of your photos looks a little weird. I mean, even I kind of run into that with my camera when I'm shooting, and maybe there's a light on and the skin tones look a little off. And so it's making that decision to turn off all the indoor lights, to close the shades, or I guess go into to manual mode and change your white balance to make sure you're white balancing to your preferred light source. I think that's getting a little bit more too detailed for our beginners.
Which you can also do once you're editing.
Yeah.
You can go in and change all these colors. I mean, nowadays with photo editing, your shadows, your highlights, your midtones, you can change the color hue of every single one. You can hone in on things and change the colors. I mean, it's endless amount of color correction you can do.
Yeah. Maybe what's more important, though, is just this idea that there's warmer light, there's cooler light. And something we always talk about, or you hear, is the golden hour. Golden hour light. You know, around sunset, after sunset, or sunrise as well, before sunrise, is this nice, warm, soft light. We'll talk about soft and harsh, hard light in a second. But what is it about golden hour that, you know, is so pleasing for photography?
It's just aesthetically, I think we just all have some sort of aesthetic towards it as humans. Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting. We think about sunsets in general, it's aesthetically nice. So the light that puts off, we are just drawn to it aesthetically, I think, as humans. And that's a pretty big generalization. Like, not obviously not everyone is going to love that look, but it's soft as far as lighting goes. The colors are not aggressive, but they're not like dead. Mm-hmm. It's warmth. Mm-hmm. It feels like cozy. It's that kind of like sort of feeling. And I think we're a lot of us are drawn to that in some sort of human nature. It's why everyone stares at sunsets. You know, it's the same sort of concept.
It's probably one of the first things that we would tell a beginner who's trying to improve their photography is like, instead of going out in the middle of the day with the sun at high noon, like go out at sunset or a few, you know, half hour before sunset and shoot through sunset after the sun goes down and, you know, see how that lighting really affects your photos.
From a technical standpoint, other than it just being aesthetically nice, it's easier on your camera, right? Like the highlights aren't as harsh. The shadows aren't as dark. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of less contrast, so your camera can handle it a little bit better. The lighting is more interesting because the sun is lower and at an angle. It's not causing deep shadows overhead. It's just easier to control and make decisions based on technically where a giant ball of sun is.
Well, and that's I think a really important distinction as well, is that shooting at sunset, if you're shooting before the sun sets, you have very direct light. And it's coming from, opposed to straight overhead, it's coming at this angle. And that can be a really great time to take photos. Mm-hmm. But it's extremely different in a matter of seconds when the sun sets from harsh, direct, you know, typically warmer light to all of a sudden it's setting and it being this sort of soft glow, mm-hmm, that is not contrasty, that's not direct, that's not harsh. And it gives a very different feeling than what it was 5 seconds ago. And both are great times to utilize that sort of, you know, that different feel and different look. And it's also a place where with white balance, if you have auto white balance on, it might just, you know, give you that look that is really pleasing, but it might not necessarily have all the colors. Now, if you white balance to daylight, to like mid sun, you're going to have very orange lighting that is sort of magical. It's warmer, it's inviting, it's cozy, it's, you know, all these things. Whereas typically a cooler image is going to feel a bit, you know, colder, a bit, you know, it has a different feeling to it. Mm-hmm. Which again is all things that as you take your photos and you practice this stuff, there's always on every photo editor, one of the first things will be a little bar that you slide to the right, things get oranger, slide to the left, things get bluer. And that's changing your white balance. That's changing, you know, are you balancing to daylight or are you balancing to a more tungsten light, which is a oranger light.
Yeah. And I we're going to wrap up this talking about taking out color and shooting in black and white. But I will just add something that I also remember, Sam, you've mentioned a lot in our classes you just kind of said it, is like stay after sunset. because the colors of the sky, especially if you're doing things like landscape photography, the colors in the sky are going to be just crazier than even at sunset or right before sunset. And I know, or for sunrise, same thing. I know for me, some of the, I went to Hawaii once and it was amazing. And some of my favorite photos I've ever taken were before sunrise. And we were on Oahu and it was just like before the sun rose, the sky was just this crazy magenta color. And then the sun rose, it peeked over the horizon and it was kind of cool. It was nice. I was really excited about like that moment when the sun started to peek out. But really quickly, the sky just started getting kind of washed out and the colors, there weren't as many colors. So
it looked normal again.
Yeah. So
yeah, complete. Yeah.
Beginners, absolutely. Like do the effort. And if you're like there trying, sitting and you're like, why don't my photos look that good? You know, go there, do the effort, get there before sunrise, wherever your photos are, and take that photo or stay after sunset and see what it looks like and compare.
And also, I will definitely also say that some of the most surprising images for me in that sort of time frame is I have a tripod and it's starting to get a little bit darker. So I do a little bit longer of an exposure. It's still light out, but it's getting darker. And the colors of the sky and the sort of dynamic nature of the last little bit of light as the world starts to get darker, it can create some really amazing colors that you visually aren't necessarily able to see, but they're there. And yeah. I 100%, if you love doing landscapes, definitely get there, you know, a good hour, 45 minutes before the time that the sun is going to rise. And you'll get great photos during that time. And it's also, or stay an hour after sunrise. It's also a time that portraits, I think, that soft lighting before the sun comes up or after the sun has set, I think it's some of the most beautiful, magical lighting to take portraits in. That is just, yeah, there's a special element to that light.
That's why we call it magic hour. So we've talked a little bit about color and light, but taking away all that color and shooting,
take it away,
shooting black and white or editing black and white, but
really boring,
but having the idea in your head of shooting in black and white is another thing to do. Will, why would we still be shooting in black and white?
Like, would we do that?
Why are you singling me out?
Because I know you like shooting black and white. Kidding. I'm not saying anything bad. Dude, black and white is amazing, but I don't want to give that away. Yeah, I want to pass it off to you and say, like, what is it about black and white that is great and what goes into making great black and white photos?
I think for me, I enjoy color a decent amount, like any human, but I get a kick out of taking the color out of a lot of my images. Obviously, like, I'm into that black and white wise. First and foremost, because it becomes fantastical, I think, right off the bat. Like, we don't normally look in black and white. And so immediately there's a tone of this is not real. Mm-hmm. And that contrast with the fact that it is real, I think, is like really interesting to me and speaks a lot when you're looking at a photograph. I think also when you do take out the color, you start to see tones of light. And tones of black and white, really, like what they call the grayscale. And it really isn't black and white. Like, it's not, and that's like, you know, literal and figuratively, like, it's not black and white. There are tons of shades of black and white from, you know, 0 to 100, like, right? Like, it's not just two colors. Otherwise, it would be boring to no end. We just call it black and white because it is the name of it.
If you look at black, your Instagram page now,
yeah,
at William Carnahan.
Oh, thanks for the plug.
at Shimizu Jones.
He's about to get hear me.
No, I mean, but Will, like most of your photos recently have just been black and white, so it's definitely a style that you've move towards, I would say.
Yeah, I like the feeling of it. To me, it feels a little bit more calm and a little bit more focused on the subject and kind of letting go of the variable of color. Mm-hmm. There's really not a lot of variables that you can let go of in a photograph other than color. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't you can't really like let go of focus or let go of exposure as well, if at all. So I kind of enjoyed that. And again, I like the, like the tonality of it, I think just has a calmer feeling to it versus the chaos of color in my mind. Obviously color can't always be chaotic, but on top of that, it, as a beginner, if you start to do with black and white, it really pushes you to watch your exposure and it really pushes you to watch your contrast. I think black and white photos have a higher contrast by definition. And that will create another mood or another feeling and will allow you to shape more your subjects with light versus color. I've also thought to myself that I feel like I've been doing photography for 20 years. And I just feel like I'm not at the point where I feel like I've mastered color at all. And I feel like I'm probably not even at that point with black and white, but I'm still figuring black and white out. And when I figure that out, maybe I'll be more excited about like pushing myself with color. I don't know. It's a hard.
Yeah. Thing. I don't know if any of us will ever say we can master anything, but I would say that at Shimizu Jones has done a pretty good job at.
Oh, his color's great.
Color in his photos.
That's
again
really
I'm looking at his last sort of set of photos that he's posted, and it's like super vibrant colors in your landscapes, but it's a simple color palette. And that's something that I've learned with photography, is simple is generally better, whether that's your subject matter in comparison to what's in the background. But also even with colors, it's like being conscious of whether it's through your editing or through just what the situation is or the choice of photo that you're posting online to share. A lot of your photos have this like very simple color palette. It's not too busy. It's not crazy, but it makes your photos more pleasing to look at.
Amazing. It's really, you know, the more I look at Sam's stuff, the more I like as a collection, like the color is like, it's not striking, but it's not distilled. It's like very like, I don't know. It's hard to bend down. And I was like, the last black and white photo that Sam posted was in 2017, and it's of himself that he didn't take.
Yeah.
So Sam doesn't do like, black and white. Yeah.
I bounce back and forth like between black and white and color like constantly. But yeah, I noticed that. And
I personally love black and white photos of myself. I hate color photos of myself. And I think with a lot of portraiture, I really enjoy black and white because I think there's something about focusing on the human opposed to the color. But I find it interesting that you guys are talking about my color, because like one of the main things I try to do, at least with how I color things, is that I'm not changing the hues. I'm not changing what the actual colors were.
Yeah.
It's that those were the colors of that frame of that moment. And so
no, and that's what makes it
keeping it very natural.
That's what makes it such good photography, is that you're finding these places in these moments that have these awesome colors, and you're not just like faking it after the fact or punching it up a crazy amount or anything like that, but you're curating it in a way that is well, and you're spending the time like capturing these images in places, like I said, in these specific moments that have these colors, and that's hard to do. Most people
you can tell our styles as photographers, though, like Sam definitely talked way more about color and I was very quiet. And then I talked way more black and white and he was very quiet.
Like, and I was right middle. So
yeah, and you're right in the middle. It becomes one of those things where all three of us have a different style, and then you find that in your photography journey and what you like and don't like. And I think it's really great as a beginner to do both.
Yeah.
And you can see what you're into or not into as far as like color, and then how harsh and soft light play with that, and you know, all these things.
Yeah. I think these episodes have just gotten longer and longer.
Yeah.
And we could just keep going with all of these things, but we're going to have to cut it off. There's so much more to learn about color and light. And as we've mentioned so far before in this podcast, we we aren't doing any sponsorships or ads or anything like that. The way you could support us is one, by leaving us a review and a rating, but also by going over to photographyandfriends.com and grabbing a course of ours. It costs 10, 20 bucks to enroll in any of our courses, from the photography masterclass to our specific landscape, portrait, photo editing courses. And with all of our courses, you get access to our easy to watch video lessons, downloadable resources, guides, slides, presets, photos to practice with. You get access to our student community, which has almost 100,000 members. It'll be 100,000 at some point, but over 75,000 members.
It's now at 2 million.
Yeah. We'll have to update this, but thousands of people that are there, and it's a super friendly place to learn. I mean, that's one of the best things that we hear from our students, is that we have this community. It's very helpful, positive. People can ask questions. You can join our classes. We do weekly challenges, live streams, all kinds of stuff in there, and you get instant access to it by joining a class. So,
you know, really, one of my favorite things of that community, I just really quickly, is that I've now like been able to watch other people's photography journeys and seen them grow as photographers, and like their posts on there, and then like start, you know, seeing their Instagram stuff. And it's incredible, like having peer review, having, you know, people sharing these things, like it's you see the difference that it makes, and you see these people growing as photographers, which is just the coolest thing. I mean, some of the people on there now, I think, are far beyond my skills as a photographer.
For sure. I mean, absolutely. I see people who have taken it so far, and I think we're all pretty humble, but I do have to, you know, brag a little bit and say that one of my favorite things is reading students who say, like, I got my start with the photography masterclass or one of our other classes, and I'm looking at their photos and I'm like, really? Really? Like, we helped you get started? Because that's pretty cool. So yes, the point is, we hope you've enjoyed the podcast so far. We've got a couple more episodes lined up, but support us, photographyandfriends.com. We can't wait to see you there, and we'll talk to you in another episode. Will and Sam, we'll talk to you then. Bye, everyone.
See ya.